said last time.
I know I did.
You're lying.
I always say it.
It never does.
Right. Call to order the Town of Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission for Wednesday, August 4th, 2021. First item is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item is the minutes. So just take a second or two and look at the minutes, see if there's any changes.
I move to adopt the minutes from July 15th as written.
I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, next item is public comment. Are you here for an agenda item? Okay, all right. Is there anybody online? If there's anybody online or on the phone? Nope. Okay. We'll close public comments. Old business, underground utilities. Mr. Richardson.
Okay, Tony gave a quick synopsis, and I've called this lady twice since the time. She was supposed to give us some additional information, and she has not done so. So I think we have, I don't know how we want to close this item. I don't want to keep it going on forever and ever, but it looks like it's, to do anything, you got to go through Duke. You can't contract for your own private, this town couldn't contract for an own private company to do the underground utilities. And it's the beginning cost. How's that, Tony? The beginning cost is about $500 a foot. And I think I said this at the meeting, two meetings ago. So from Alabama to K Avenue, that's about $2 million. Give or take, and then there's other costs on top of that. There's connection costs for customers. There's landscaping costs. So,
surveying costs.
It was neutral to Duke. I mean, they said fine if you want to do it. They didn't see any savings. They said they would take, you know, they make sure all the poles were taken out and things like that. So I think where we're at now, it's
money.
It's an aesthetic improvement. We found out there's not a lot of outage that would be curtailed because of that, because it just there's nothing there.
They prefer overhead.
They prefer overhead. It would be aesthetics. There are monies that are available through FEMA and other organizations in the feds to Department of Energy to fund this, but I think this started with a town that got $8 million. I said as a cursory review, it was somewhere in Florida they got $8 million to offset the cost. Well, when you dig into it, their whole project was like $100 million. so the amount of federal funds or FEMA funds were not that much. But after saying all that, it has been in the 10-year plan for the last two plans. If the town still wants to continue to put in a plan, there ought to be a cost with that. We know what the cost is now to designate to do 421. And the time frame was not, I mean, they could do it in a season, if I remember right, right?
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, but I mean, she said that, but yeah, she said so, but things come up. So if we want to keep it in the 10-year plan, then we ought to put a specification that it is a $2 million item to do 421. It can be done in a season, and that the town should pursue grants and other items to go ahead and try to offset the cost. If we're not going to do that, then I think it ought to be removed from the 10-year plan. It shouldn't be in there if we really know it's never going to be done. That's my feeling. So that's where we're at. It was a nice experience in learning about this, but Tony, Joe, do you have anything to add?
Well, we still have the on other utilities, Bell South and cable and everything else.
That would happen. Yeah.
That would, we'd have to contract with them to remove that and bury that. So that's another complete cost.
I think one part, Ken, that you mentioned is there would be a cost to every resident along the way.
Right.
So if we want to go ahead and make that decision, or not that we are, but when it comes to that point, got to realize that we're affecting everybody's pocket along the street also for a very minimal gain on the amount of outages that we have on that line.
Right. It's 99.9 aesthetics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really, coming from oceanfront town in Maryland, visiting there, I should say, the aesthetics are amazing once you take all those wires down. But is it worth the dollar amount? Probably marginal.
I agree it's aesthetics, but there's a direct correlation between aesthetics and property values.
Yes.
And I would imagine that a lot of people, depending on what the cost is, but they would do a little cost-benefit analysis. And I think that a lot of homeowners I know have complained about the overhead lines and everything like that, and I bet that a lot of homeowners would be willing to front the cost, given that there's going to be an increase of property values associated with that. But I would agree with Ken. I think if it's going to be in the 10-year plan, that the town may want to make some sort of a decision to amortize that over 10 years, not do the whole thing, but for every year. Do another block.
Yeah, and actually, she said they're
trying to implement it.
You could do, one of the things this the lady was supposed to provide us is a grid map. Was it a grid map?
Yeah.
Of Curry Beach, where we could look at doing biting off sections that we could afford.
Yeah.
And that would do that. So, and she was also the $500 plus. It actually was over $500. Per foot, when she looked at coming up towards Curry Village Way and up that way, where we have very just one or two lines that go over, it's a lot of it's already buried. She said, "Well, that would be less. I shouldn't say a lot less. That would be less." And she was supposed to get back to us to give us a comparison on the difference between that section and the other section, and she never did. So, she wasn't the original person we talked to. That person has gone on, and it sounds like this was kind of something she was, the other gentleman was really interested in helping us. She just wanted to give us the information, and then that was it. So.
Now, what was the outcome on the communication lines? We would have to deal with the comm companies or do for
no, them? I thought she said they would coordinate the communications.
No, we would have to work with, it's going to be probably a little bit more onus on us.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, working through the fire department, we found that most of the cable lines that are strung are old cable lines that are no longer in use.
That's yeah.
They don't take them down when they're...
That is absolutely right. But we still have to, for them to remove the poles, the cable lines, phone lines have to come off.
They won't do anything unless we're doing a whole revamp.
Correct, because they won't take the pole away until we have the cable lines and phone lines removed.
There's been discussion of trying to get the cable company to do that, but they won't.
Mm. Well, like I said, all the new developments are underground. It is amazing, but which made me think that was a preference for Duke. And they said, no, that's a preference of the developer. Duke would rather have them on the pole.
Okay.
Cheaper for them.
No, that's what they said. Yeah.
Easier to replace.
Well, I think it's it kind of brings us to this second part here, the land use plan, because I believe that somewhere in the future the P&Z will get involved a little more aggressively as part of the land use plan. That could be something that would be identified as part of the land use plan. That if you're going to have something in it, the town should have some sort of a program to implement the 10-year plan, perhaps on a yearly basis. I mean, we can't do the whole thing at once, but I think certainly it's reasonable to think about that.
So. I think that they would become more serious if we said we had grants and commitment.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to, I think I asked this before, and I obviously don't remember the answer. Joseph, do we have, or Beth, we either one, do we have anybody in the town that actually goes out looking for money for grants and things like?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you take your cut though. That's what.
It would be per department.
Huh?
It'd be depending on the department. The police department handles their own grants. Administration handles some grants for stormwater.
So this is an orphan. It has nobody. So.
Yeah, it would just have to.
So if the town wants to ask Arlen or somebody or tell this group to go find somebody to do it, then that might be still worthwhile doing.
There may be infrastructure money available in the near future.
Yeah, there's all.
If the feds do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, that's another point. Maybe we're doing this at the right time to go get some of that.
But I think you raise a good point that most towns of significant size has somebody whose designated responsibility is to search and write grants.
Yeah.
Because so much of the sort of things that develop in a town are come from grant money. We don't. I mean, given the size and you know how thin our staff is and everything like that, we don't have anybody sitting there searching the grant databases like grants.gov and stuff like that on a regular basis or writing grants. I mean, it takes a long time to write a grant. And put it together.
Yeah, so. Patty did also mention that on a project of this size, that the expectation from the town would be have a point of contact or a person that would be making decisions or kind of like a project manager for the project. So,
all right. So what's the pleasure of the commission to to address this agenda item? Is it do we table it? Do we?
Well, I'd like to
is
say
it information only?
We information to council that we looked at this. The results were, as I summarized, you know, it's keep it at a high level. It's a $2 million project to bury the cables from down 421 with additional costs for homeowners and utilities. I mean, communication lines. And that if we would like, that's the facts. And then say, we think if it's going to be in the 10-year plan, then we ought to have a 10-year, year-by-year look at how the town will accomplish this. And if they're saying, well, wait a minute, we can't do it, then we should probably delete it from the land use plan.
Yes, but whatever plan we put together, and this is part of the conversation we had with Patty, was to we will have to put together a strategy and pricing for the whole town, because if we seek grants and or tax increases or whatever, some residents, if they don't get underground utilities, are not going to be happy.
Yeah, and that if the town wants to go forward, is that to authorize us to go ahead and spend some money to find a grant person and go look for money.
Is it, when is the council meeting? That's
August 15th.
15th. Is it the pleasure of the commission that I transmit this information
sure.
to the council? I don't think we need a motion, but just to communicate to the council and.
Sure.
I would like to hear that everybody, kind of my summation, does the council. The commission agree that
that
is the position.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anything, the price is going to go up yearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And like our council mentioned, the infrastructure bill that might come out, there may be a golden opportunity to go through some of that.
Right.
It might be the iron's right. So. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Next item: land use plan update. I'll do a quick update on this, and Joseph might have something to contribute. We had a workshop last week. It was a very useful workshop. I think that what came out of the workshop is we went through the data of the survey. We had a very good response to the third survey, and basically, the vast majority of people in Curie Beach like what we're doing. I mean, they like the family. Town feel to it, and they're very, very positive that the way you address these issues is through planning and zoning and, you know, these type of ordinances. Where there was probably the only debate had to do with parking, whether it was free parking or not free parking, and you know, people certainly fell on different sides of that particular thing. But we also went through the process of and kind of the points where we're going to have to come back and meet again and hear presentations and all that sort of thing. So, I don't know, Joseph, do you want to add anything more to that?
It was well attended. It was a good event.
Okay. I believe there is a point in time where planning and zoning will become more actively involved in this. I think there'll be a presentation, and then ultimately planning and zoning has to make a recommendation to council, I believe, if I remember right, how it's done right now. Is that correct, Mr. Eldridge?
I'm sorry, Chairman, could you repeat?
Yeah, no, I believe under 160D right now, or under that, what happens is that planning and zoning actually makes a recommendation to town council about the land use plan, if I remember right.
I'll tell you in just a second. One plan will be done.
Oh, it's like in February next year or something like that.
It's going to be a couple months. I may just extend.
Prepare and recommend the official adoption of the preservation element as part of the town's comprehensive plan. That's one of the things.
We don't.
I'm sorry, that's HPC. My bad. Yeah. Trying to find the land use element. I'm there. Just give me a second. To prepare, review, maintain, monitor, and periodically update and recommend to town council a comprehensive plan. Yep. I think that kind of answers your question.
Yeah. So anyway, the P&Z will become more actively involved as the land use plan committee finalizes its process. Ultimately, I think it will have to be brought to P&Z. We'll review it, and then we'll make a recommendation to council.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Anything more on land use plan? Anybody? Okay. Item number 5.3, electric vehicle chargers. I actually did talk with one of the two large networks. Very interesting. I don't think it's going to be as expensive as people think. The way that it works is that, you know, they basically put in the electric chargers. You then contract with a network provider that provides the credit cards and the network for these sort of things. And essentially, the way that it works is that you pay an annual fee to the, you know, once the chargers are installed, you pay an annual fee, not very much, to be part of the network, and then the split is 10%, 90%. So the network provider keeps 10%, and 90% of whatever you charge for the electricity then comes back to the town. The installation, looking at the charging units that we're talking about, the installation, the chargers themselves are only about $10,000. So if you install two chargers, which would cover four different parking spaces, that's going to be about $20,000. There is an installation fee. You can have your own people do it, or they have subcontractors, contractors that will come out and do it. And so I am waiting to get a formal proposal from the contractor. It's a non-commitment proposal or anything like that. I was hoping to have it by tonight, but hopefully we'll have it by the next meeting. But I'm guessing it's going to be fairly reasonable.
What's that annual fee? You said not very.
The annual fee is like $500 a year or something like that, and then they keep 10% of whatever the charge is, the electricity charge that we decide. And it's pretty neat. I mean, you can decide whatever you want. You can set it for different times of the day. You can give it for a lesser amount to staff if they have electric cars and all that sort of thing. So,
now, is it going to be, is it Tesla?
No. These are what are called level 2 chargers. So they'll charge any electric car.
Well, based on the science that's on the roads today, does anybody know how long it takes to charge a car?
5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Oh, I can.
My son has. He's got.
No, I've got a Tesla. On a supercharger, it takes about 45 minutes to fully charge it. On the level 2 charger that we're talking about, these are called destination chargers because the idea is you bring your car down, you plug it in, it's 240 volts, and it takes about 3 to 4 hours. So that's why they call them destination chargers. So you charge them, and then you go to the beach, and then you come back and charge.
Yeah. Well, I think that as long as it's on town property, we don't have to deal with ownership or, you know, anything like that. And I think the other thing would be, like it was mentioned, like the ball field where we, or here, where we had adequate electrical service, mm-hmm. then would be the other thing. So I think the cost of the install is going to depend on where we would put it.
Right, right. And I just don't think it's going to be, I mean, I don't have it, but based on what I'm talking with the representative there, the units cost $20,000, and whatever the installation cost is the capital cost associated with it.
Now, I wasn't here last meeting, I apologize, but I thought you also talked about companies that did everything and set everything up, and
that's what this company does. They'll set it up.
No cost. I mean, you just give them the property. There's nothing like that.
No, it doesn't appear to work. Now, again, we have been very unfortunate because we missed. Duke was doing it for free. So Duke was actually coming in, and they had a program where they would come in and they would install it for free to a town. And we missed that by about 2 weeks. Well, it turns out that we also missed a Duke program which would install solar panels on top of government buildings. And we missed that by 2 weeks, too, when I checked on that. So we seem to... This is where having a grant person would be good, because...
It's still available, the solar panel thing.
Is it? Yes.
You need to read it.
Okay.
There's a price tag on everything.
It's like selling ice to Eskimos.
Yep. So, all right. Anyway, last item is proposed text application received for ordinances 15-36-010. And Mr. Batson. I think when we had the discussion, probably the major issue that came up would be a height limit to anything that would be put there. And we were thinking 5 feet or something like that.
Is that not covered in the code or the building requirements?
Yeah, well, it's 35-foot height limit.
I mean, for the like certain propane tank sizes or something like that, is any code that covers that?
Last time, didn't we talk about the fence height and using that? We said that there was allowed fence height and we were going to stick with that.
That was briefly talked about, yes, sir. It's just 4 feet on the side.
It'd have to be a vertical tank, and they're about 50 inches tall, and normally they're on a platform, so it really pushed the limit of 5 feet if it had to be raised to keep it out of a low area.
Well, since we have the applicants here, they might want to speak to this.
I know they probably want to comment, but just keep in mind, this ordinance is for all of Cary Beach.
Right, right. But could you maybe come up here and, you know, for the official thing is just say who you are and give us your address, and then we can ask you some questions. We did last time, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm Nikki Adcox. I'm a resident of Cary Beach. And I just wanted to say, I love the underground wire. So I was like getting excited over there. I'm like, oh, I'm on that racing line. Yes, I'm a resident of Cary Beach, and I wanted to represent the corner lots, so to speak. and it can make it fair for the corner lots. Some of the lots that aren't the corner lots, like there's houses and they're not on the corner like this, you know, a lot of corner lots are. I don't know how many there are. I was going to count them and think, oh, I guess that's five. I know there are 105. But homes that aren't on corner lots can have generators and propane tanks. But when you're on the corner lot, it's always been my perception a lot's bigger, for one, because you, you know, not that you would use it, but the 5 foot setback to like the fences, and you're allowed to have a fence on the 5 foot setback. And if you have a generator to protect your house, any corner lot, any residence, and a propane tank that could have a generator to protect your house or any black items. And John, you know, I've been working with him and he's helped me get this together, but that's really all we're asking for. For the people to have a fair chance to be able to protect their house. I know there's houses in Green Beach down the road that's regular houses, and they, you know, they're not on a corner lot, but they have generators. So it's like, I can't have one, or so and so can't have one on that corner lot. I just took a few pictures to give you an idea of what I'm talking about.
Can I ask a question though?
Yes,
it's when you say you can't have a generator, it really is you can't have a generator on one side of the house. You can have a generator on the non corner side of your house.
This is a duplex or this is a townhouse.
Well, we can't have it in the 5 foot setback because it's not an included item in the ordinance to have it in the 5 foot setback if you're on the corner lot.
This is two different houses. This is facing this way.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
This
but
your
this
residence?
Would also apply to houses that aren't. Yes.
Is this your residence, the first one?
Yes.
Okay. And the other two are just examples, obviously.
Yeah, I was just trying to find some.
Okay.
Because a single unit house.
And you're the ocean
they
facing one?
They can put their stuff on.
Excuse me?
You're the ocean facing one.
For a single unit house.
Okay.
It's not a single unit.
No. This
no,
one, but if it was single unit, they could,
all
they,
the way
they
down.
Could put it over here.
Yeah.
The
one
side or the other, yeah.
If it's.
John, we talked about it last time. It's primarily an aesthetics issue. It's not a safety issue, like a lot of setback requirements are. But what's your general feeling about allowing generators, HVAC units, propane tanks, and other similar equipment? Which I'm not sure what that means, but.
Corner lots and the setbacks are more restrictive than lots that are on the interior of a block. I feel like this is a pretty reasonable request, but I mean, really, it's up to you guys whether or not you want to allow it. We don't allow generators in any setback. We don't allow HVAC units in any setback. I completely believe that on building plans and remodels. Do we have some in town? Yes. Are they mostly older houses? Yes, they are. On a corner lot, you have a more restrictive side setback off the minor thoroughfare, which in this case is Alabama Avenue. And so, you know, what they're asking for is they've got a 10-foot side setback there. That first 5 feet from the side of the house, could they not utilize that for their generator, HVAC unit, or propane tank?
And that would leave how much for that corner lot if they were to use the first 5 feet closest to their house, how much then space would be before they get to the
property line?
The property line.
Another 5 feet.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Just like every other house, into your lot, street.
I'd like to add also, I drove around town because I was thinking about this. I looked at the house and then I was comparing to other houses while I was driving around. And I noticed an awful lot of houses have hedges and, you know, tall trees growing up on the side of the house, and those are not regulated. And this generator wouldn't be any deeper than that, I would think. So I think, you know, if it's for visibility, that the reason why we have these setbacks, well, there are a lot of tall hedges within the setbacks that there's no regulation on. Am I correct about that?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, in my case, in my particular case, I can't speak for anyone else, I wanted to, you know, put the generator inside the fence that is allowed. So it's not going to be any different than a barbecue grill or whatever inside that area. I'm not saying I'm going to put it outside. And then so, I'd really like to, because the fence is wearing, I'd really like to put a solid white vinyl fence to make it look nice, and nobody would even see it anyway, aesthetically.
John, on this particular corner lot, what's the height limit on the fence?
4 feet.
4 feet on the roof. So
you get into the rear yard, even the back side of the lot.
And you can go
6 feet.
6 feet.
But that's from the back corner.
There's no way they could put any propane tank there without being taller than the fence, because it has to be a vertical tank. Yes, it does.
No, I'm only going by we had a neighbor just put in one, which
yeah, but it has to be 10 feet away from the house. That's code.
Okay, well, that's...
I'm telling you. I live this. But
all right.
A horizontal tank has to be 10 feet away from the structure of the house.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow, okay. I'm not saying anything more.
Huh? No, even the ones above ground.
Mine's not 10 feet away from
the house. Well, the new codes now are requiring it to be 10 feet.
Yeah.
Are you saying horizontal tanks?
Horizontal. Vertical tanks can be right up against the house. So,
I'm following you now.
So the vertical tank's going to be taller than the fence regardless. The generator probably would be hidden, but the tanks are white. I don't really see it's a problem in this particular case. I just think that it's just the way the lot is. The house is built and, you know, it has limited space. I personally don't see the issue. They're not going to conform to a height. It's just impossible to get the right tank or two tanks there for a generator.
I don't have a problem with it, but I just want to put a height limit to anything that's there. I mean, I don't care if it's 5 feet or 6 feet, you know, but I don't want anybody putting up a 20-foot thing in their house.
Well, the good thing about propane tanks, vertical tanks, they're limited to certain sizes. You can't get, like,
well,
you know.
The thing is, it's not just propane, it's other similar equipment. And so I just personally think, and I don't have a problem. I mean, if most propane tanks are 5 feet and you put it, I mean, I don't have a problem putting a 6 foot limit on it.
I think,
you know, I mean, as long as there's some limit.
I think a 6 foot limit would be acceptable. I don't think there's anything there that would exceed 6 feet. Even if they had to raise the tank or raise the generator up,
right,
it would not exceed.
It's just that I'm a little nervous about putting a blanket thing without some sort of a height limit.
Well, it's just,
you know, so 6 feet is fine with me.
The way the equipment's made, it doesn't exceed that. Yeah. So it becomes a mute point.
Tesla's going to figure out how to do something.
You become a Tesla boy.
What's that?
If they're not, I'll revert to the minutes quite a bit before I make an interpretation on any ordinance. To see what you guys discuss and what your concerns were.
So
the propane tank is 53 inches.
Right. So I have no problem if we put a 6 foot limit on this.
Yeah.
So the fence here, you're putting it inside the fence.
Yes.
And you're putting a solid white fence so nobody can see it.
But
okay,
it's already there, right? No? The generator? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, but it's just used for a table to grill out right now.
Yeah, there's no tanks there.
But I'm just saying, it's already there.
But John made the point that this is for all of Kerry Beach, not just their property. So we got to think of all of Kerry Beach on this.
I still think that it's going to be a similar situation, you know, on a corner lot. I don't, you know, personally, the way that some of these houses are built, I don't really see it, you know, becoming an issue for the cost of putting the generator in the limited space.
Well, not everyone is going to put a fence up to hide it either.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah.
So let me just make the motion to move this on. Okay, so I move for the text amendment.
One comment.
Sure.
You may want to also consider removing the words and other similar equipment, because that's just wider.
Well, that's my concern, yeah. Okay. All right, so I'll make a motion for the text amendment. F, whole house generators, comma, HVAC units, comma, and propane tanks within the first 5 feet of the required side yard of a corner lot. And then as a separate sentence, such equipment cannot exceed the height of 6 feet. Is there a second to that?
Yeah, I second.
Okay. Any further discussion?
That's a motion to recommend that to council.
To council, yes.
I'll make one small edit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Reading this one. So it can read like this. All house generators, HVAC units, and propane tanks within 5 feet of the side of the house on the required side yard of a corner lot. Guess what I'm getting at there is that, and future building inspectors will not allow that propane tank or that generator within the 5 feet beside the property line instead of the 5 feet beside the house. Follow along?
Yes.
Do you have?
It has to be up against the house, not up against the property line.
Oh, okay. All right, so.
Did we get that edit?
Within the first 5 feet from the house.
Yeah, or from the structure. All right, so it'll read whole house generators, HVAC units, and propane tanks within the first 5 feet from the
structure.
And the required side yard of a corner lot.
Right. And such equipment cannot exceed 6 feet in height. Okay. So that's the motion to recommend to council. Is there a second? Again, second. We'll have a second. Yeah. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All right. Excellent. New business.
Now, one other thing on that.
Yeah, we have to do the...
We have to do a...
Consistency
statement. You're right.
We have it. Craig, it's in our... Yeah, right here.
It's a chapter 15.
Consistency statement.
Right. And, the finding is that it's consistent with the land use compatibility goal statement set forth in the OUP, which provides the pertinent part that land uses, quote, minimize negative environmental impact and avoid risk to public health, safety, and welfare. If you agree with the finding that that's what makes this text amendment consistent with the land use plan, then you can entertain a motion to adopt.
Okay, and then the adoption of the consistency statement, the writing below would then be consistent with what the motion was.
I didn't quite understand that.
Okay, in the consistency statement, you have the language before we made the revision. So the language in the consistency statement has to be consistent with the motion.
Yeah, the middle sentence. Yes.
About the 6 feet on the
right, and take out.
I still want you to adopt a consistency statement based on that finding, and I'll revise this and get it to that one side. Have a copy of the final version.
Okay. So again, I'll make the motion to approve the zoning consistency statement, subject to the minor rewording to be consistent with the motion of the P&Z.
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The last item is adjournment. No, excuse me, new business. Any new business?
Yeah, because we keep going through this. Beth, new business, we used to have members item, but if new business is basically all we can do is something for next meeting to put on the agenda, right?
No. Have like a new topic that you haven't talked about yet.
But it's not on the agenda, so.
There's nothing on the agenda.
So we can't add new. What I'm getting at,
you got to do it at the beginning.
Right, okay. Correct. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
There is, I believe, an exception for new business, like emergency items and
yes.
things like
yeah.
that. Okay,
yeah.
sorry. Okay. All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, yep. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, very good. That was a productive meeting, so.